You know, we live in a world that's in a constant state of flux and change. Somebody as well said, the only thing that stays the same is change. So everything's always changing, amen? And consequently, we've come to realize the hard way in many cases that there is not very much that's tangible that you can put your hands on that you can really depend on. How many of us found out that finances is not something that you can depend on? How many people had stocks and bonds and investments when the market crashed? By the way, Proverbs 23:5 is better than the stock market. Amen. It says, riches certainly make themselves wings and do fly away. Those of you can go back and remember, most of us look at the history books and remember the 1929 crash, the stock market crash. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot depend on finances. Amen. When we think of different types of media, some of you grew up in the days where you got your news from the newspaper only. And then something named radio came along. And then after radio, television came along. And then after television, internet, where you can simply get news this quick nowadays. But that's all changing. It's changing. And so consequently, people that had newspaper jobs lost their jobs when radio came along. And radio jobs lost their jobs when television came along. And now we have the internet. You think of the idea of not only finances and media, but think of jobs. Think of how jobs, many of you have said to me, Pastor, this used to be a factory town. There used to be factories all over Jackson. There's not too many anymore. Why is that? Because change comes along and companies move and there are layoffs and people lose their jobs. People transfer. By the way, there are some times when that's a blessing. We have a family in our church tonight called the Hendershots because of a job transfer. Amen? That's a blessing. But it's change. I think of something, and I won't tarry long here because most of us would laugh and probably have the whole service on this, but the government is not something you can depend on. Nor should you depend on. Amen? I think of liberalism, how liberalism has infected our government, and I think of how almost anymore and very, very soon I believe that when you pull a dollar out of your pocket in a foreign country, they're going to almost laugh and say that's worthless. It's been so devalued by inflation. I think of out of control spending, and one day, ladies and gentlemen, the cow of government is going to run dry. And there's not going to be any more money. Listen, we ought not to depend on the government. It's not something we can depend on. You know, sadly, churches in our day are not dependable. Many, many churches are changing with the times and changing for the worse. Pastor John and I had a conversation the other day and we were talking about that and talking about the emerging church. And someone in our church had asked me, he said, Pastor, would you consider preaching on the emerging church? That's that new in vogue church. That idea of being seeker sensitive and finding out what the people like and then giving them what they want. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not interested in what people want. I'm interested in giving them what they need, whether they want it or not. You know, when I discipline my son, he's not very interested in what I have to give him. Amen? But we give it nonetheless, this idea of the emerging church and changing. And I tell you, Pastor John and I were talking, and they said, you know, what do you think about the emerging church? And I said, well, this, I don't know everything, Brother Sam, is about the emerging church, but I know this. I know when a skunk is nearby. I can smell it. I know this emerging church. I can smell it. I know what rock music does in people's lives, and it has no place in the house of God. Amen. Churches, finances, government, jobs, media. Pastor, what can I depend on? Well, there's more things than what I'm going to cover tonight. It's a topical message tonight, but according to our text, there's one thing you can depend on above all else. Look at verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Means get the best man has, and it's just like grass. It withereth, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Hey, you get that green grass of spring in summertime, and it's going to be burnt up. That flower that blooms so nice at the end of the summertime, it's going to fall off. But what's it say? But the word of the Lord endureth forever. What is it that you can depend on? This book right here. This book. You can depend on this book. I'll do a little topical Bible study tonight. First of all, let me say this. This book is settled. Let's go to Psalms chapter 119. This book is settled. And I mentioned this morning, Brother Sammons wasn't here. He was on call this morning. And I mentioned this morning, I didn't want to steal your thunder at all, Brother Tom, but I preached quite a bit on the Scriptures this morning and then tonight on the Scriptures. But boy, we can never get enough of preaching on the Bible. On the Bible. It's settled. Psalm chapter 119. Over and over and over in this chapter. And my Bible is, I know you can't see it, but I'll hold it up anyway. It's all highlighted and marked with every time the Word of God is mentioned. Verse 1, the law of the Lord. Verse 2, His testimonies. Verse 3, His ways. Verse 4, His precepts. Verse 5, Thy statutes. Verse 6, Thy commandments. Verse 7, Thy righteous judgments. And it goes on and on and on and on. And in this 176 verse chapter of the Bible, the Word of God is mentioned 182 times. Look at verse 89. You see, folks, this book is settled. God's not wondering, boy, should I have written that? What's He say there in verse 89? Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Amen? This is why it is so important that we use the book we do. Because I want to tell you something about the other versions. They're not very settled. That's why they keep coming out with new ones. Amen? They keep coming out with these new ones. Why? Because they're not settled. Listen, I'm settled on the translation and transmission of the King James Bible. Letter for letter, word for word, right there. I love so many things about it. I love when they came to that word Lord. L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That they took out a new pen, used it, wrote down that word, and never used it again. I love how the scribes, they literally would come to that word and they would dismiss themselves and wash themselves clean before they would even write the word. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is settled. You can depend on what God says. If God said it, it will come to pass. It's settled. It's settled. Something else. Number two, go over to Jeremiah chapter 15. Again, I could go on and on and on, all these points here. I think there's so much in here on the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15. In verse 16. Jeremiah 15:16. I love this. It says there in verse number 16 of Jeremiah 15, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and Thy word was unto me as the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know what? This book, something that you can depend on, it's not only settled, but it's satisfying. It's satisfying. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, the Lord's good to us, I'm going to preach a message called Cotton Candy Christianity. Cotton candy Christianity, about this new church and this new type of Christianity that thinks you got to look like the world to win the world. We're going to preach on that. I want to tell you something about this book. It's God's good bread from heaven. Amen. You can, listen, this book satisfies the thirsty soul. Amen. It satisfies the hungry soul. This book can meet your innermost need. The Bible. The Word of God. Thank God for it. It's satisfying. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you're hungry, there's nothing like a good meal. Nothing like working a full day, whether you work in a factory, in an office, or anything, and you come home and you start smelling mama's cooking. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful. My wife is a great cook. not only a great baker, but a great cook. And I sometimes will come in and I'll get attacked when I come in the door by my two little guys. Daddy, Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Daddy, Daddy, I did this thing. Daddy did that. Daddy, 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 Daddy. And then I get to smelling Mama's cooking. And you know what? After I finish that meal, I'm satisfied. Boy, that was good. Listen, so many times I dig into this book, have that spiritual meal, and I'm satisfied when I'm done. Amen. God's Word is satisfying. It's satisfying. The reason for a lot of us that maybe it's not satisfying is we're just not eating enough of it. We're on a spiritual diet. Listen, never go on a spiritual diet with the Word of God. Go on an all-you-can-eat buffet with the Word of God. Amen. Just have at it. Have as much as you want. It'll satisfy you every time. Something else. The Word of God is settled. It's satisfying. Back a couple verses in Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. And then we'll look at some verses in 2 Peter that we looked at this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. Or I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 1 and then 2 Peter. Let me try that again. I'm in trouble. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. I love this. But then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. The third thing we see here about the Bible is it's not only settled, it's not only satisfying, but according to 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 16. We mentioned this morning as we spoke on the Scriptures this morning. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter recounting said, not only did we see the Son of God in all His glory, but then we heard the voice of God from heaven. How much better can it get than that? He says this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You say, what's the third point, Pastor? It's settled, it's satisfying, but it is sure. Peter said, I would rather have the written Word of God more than to see the glory in the Son of God or to hear the voice from heaven. He said, this is more sure. More sure. Why? Listen, it carries inspiration, ladies and gentlemen, because it's preserved. Again, we've mentioned it. It's such an easy illustration. But we've got some farm people. If you have ever taken and put preserves down in your cellar, as long as the seal's good, they'll be good. When you pull them out and eat them, they'll be good. And I promise you, the God that inspired the original writers to write, preserve this book that we hold in our hand. It's sure. And what God says will come to pass. Not what Harold Camping says. Amen? And not what Harold Camping says. The God that said, no man knows the day or the hour, is the same God that's going to come and split the clouds and take His church home. Amen? That's our God. Hey, listen, and His Word is settled, and it's satisfying, and it's sure. Just over probably a page or two there. Go to James chapter 1. I love this. James chapter 1. Something else, a fourth thing about the Word of God. It's sure and it's satisfying and it's settled. Verse number 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's settled. It's satisfying. It's sure. You know what else it is? It's soul saving. I have had the privilege in my life, and I say privilege, to lead many people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sometimes on the street, sometimes on a porch, sometimes in their home, sometimes in the church house, sometimes at a restaurant table, to be able to take the Word of God and watch God save a soul. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God has to be present for a soul to be saved. Now, sometimes it's just in our words, amen? Sometimes, praise God for this, in my case, gospel track, amen? Whatever it is, but the Word of God is soul-saving. Thank God here, if you go back into 1 Peter, where we read our text, it says that being verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's soul-saving. Hey, you know what we need to do? Get in the seed-scattering, soul-saving Word of God business. That's why I love leaving tracks places. I really do. Because the best thing about leaving tracks is God gets all the glory. You know that? When you just leave a track somewhere and you have no hope of seeing anything from that except trying to obey God, God gets the glory. And people read these and get saved. I can't wait to hear the testimonies of heaven where somebody said, yeah, I had stopped to get a cup of coffee and somebody left one of these pamphlets on a bench. And I picked it up and read it and I got saved. I'll tell you what is it that saves the soul? Of course, it's all God, amen, but He uses the Word of God. The engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Let me give you something fifth. Go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. We see something else about the Word of God. It's soul-saving. It's sure. It's satisfying. It's settled. Psalm 119, verse 105. Many of us know this verse. Great verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what else the Word of God is? It's secure in its guidance. It's secure in its guidance. This idea of the lamp and the light is not the spotlight that we would like. See, what we want is we want a spotlight from God that shows us the end. God doesn't operate that way with us. Nor does He have to, amen. He puts a light on our next step. And you know what? When you have the Word of God, you can know that it's secure in its guidance. This book is not going to lead you astray. Amen. I have never seen anyone that truly took the tenets of the New Testament and said, I'm going to live, Pastor John, by the Gospels, by the New Testament that went off into sin. Never have. Never saw somebody that said, I'm going to live by the Word of God that ended up a drunkard. Never. Because you won't get that way from this book. You'll get that way because you want to. You want to sin. You want to bend your elbow. You want to do things wrong. But this book is secure in its guidance. We've got some young people here tonight. Listen to me. Young people, get the idea of get this book in your life and do what it says. And you'll be the better for it. It's secure in its guidance. It's soul-saving. It's sure. It's satisfying. It's settled. Number six, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I like this. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Great chapter of the Word of God. Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 5. 1 Timothy 4, 5. Talks about here the things, and boy, I remember the first time I ever read this chapter. Look at verse 1. First time I ever read this chapter is being saved out of the Church of Rome. It was obvious that some of these things happened. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Amen? I think we all know what that's all about. Amen? And commanding to abstain from meat. You know, Pastor John, when I was a kid, if you ate meat on a Friday and you were of the Church of Rome, you were on your way to hell. That was a mortal sin. You say, does that still happen? Oh, I don't know about the mortal part, but I know there's fish fries every Friday. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you, because some command to abstain from meats, which God hath created and received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. What else is it about the word of God? It's sanctifying. It's sanctifying. The word of God is sanctifying, secure, soul-saving, sure, satisfying, settled. You say, what does that mean, sanctified? It's set apart. It has the ability, ladies and gentlemen, and praise God for this, it has the ability to set you apart. Amen? It has the ability to take you from that average doldrums life into the abundant life that Christ wants you to have. It has the ability, young lady, young man, to take you away from those sinful friends and still put you on a high plane for God. See, it's sanctifying. It sets apart. It has the ability to sever you from the world. Aren't you glad for that? I'm so glad. I know we say it often, but I'm so glad that I really believe this is the Bible. I haven't met too many in the other camps of all the different versions that really believe what they have is the Word of God. What they get into is, well, we need all the manuscripts and we need all this, which there aren't. You can't find all the manuscripts. They're gone. But I'll tell you what I have. I have the Word of God. It's sure and it's sanctifying. It's secure. It's soul-saving, satisfying, settled. And then lastly, and I like this, go to Psalm chapter 138. Lastly, we're right on time. Psalm chapter 138, verse 2. One of the most tremendous verses in all the Word of God. About the Word of God. What does God think of His Word? Psalm chapter 138, verse 1 says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness, for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Say, what's the last thing about the Bible? Something you can depend on, Pastor. It's settled, satisfying, sure, soul-saving, secure, sanctifying. You know what else it is? It's supreme. God thought so much of His name that the third commandment is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For He will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. God thought so much of His name that over and over in the Bible says, worship His name. God says this, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thine own name. You know what is more precious and more supreme even than the name of God? The Word of God. The Word of God. Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thine own name. Here's my question to you tonight, Christian. And listen, this is a spiritual crowd. This is the Sunday night of Memorial Day. And number one, you're in church. Number two, there was a tornado warning and you're in church. And number three, you're in church. Amen. But listen, do we really read this book like it's settled? Do we really read this book to satisfy our souls? Do we really read this book and know this is sure, what God said will happen? Do we really read this book and read it to others like it's soul-saving, which it is? Do we really believe it's secure? Do we really believe that if we apply its principles to our life, it can sanctify us? Do we really believe it's supreme? Does it hold a supreme place in our lives? I hope it does. It should. Amen? So many people longing to have the Word of God, and we have it. Oh, that God would get us to renew our commitment to just be in this book. Listen, not to say we read our Bible through, not to say we read so many chapters, but that we would get alone with the God who loves us and wrote us His love letter. Something you can depend on. Let's bow our heads. Our Father.